Listening Library presents Give Me Something Good to Eat by D.W. Gillespie. Read for you by Barrett Letty. Be warned. This book is full of monsters. It was written for kids who love monsters. And it was dreamed up by me, a lifelong admirer of monsters. It's dedicated to Grant and Lily, my two favorite monsters in the world. Chapter 1. The Best Night of the Year. It was Halloween in Pearl, North Carolina, and the normal rules of the world didn't apply. Abby Purdom was only 6 years old, but even she understood that. Her mother, Beth, had spent the day getting the house ready for the festivities. It didn't matter if you didn't enjoy handing out candy, or if you preferred not to decorate. There was only one way to celebrate in Pearl. It was an invisible contract you signed the day you moved to town. Everyone participated. No one sat out, at least no one respectable. If you lived in this town, you were in. All the way. This was the first year Abby's mother let her pick out her own costume. And she settled on a very cute bee with a plastic stinger sticking out of the bottom. Now that she had it on, Abby couldn't stop staring at herself in the mirror, wiggling her butt. "Oh my gosh," her mother said. Beth was dressed as a sunflower, and she held up her phone to record her daughter as she pranced around in front of the mirror. "I'm gonna sting you!" Abby screamed as she chased her mom around the bedroom. "You can't sting me," Beth said, scooping her up. "I'm your mama flower." They squeezed each other tightly. "I love my little bee so much."
"I love you too, Mama."
The sky was purple when they stepped out the front door into the chill air. Orville Avenue was a living kaleidoscope of color and lights, like a child's daydream come to life. The metamorphosis of the town that had begun in early September was now complete, and a skull-faced butterfly had hatched, ready to fly. The unspoken rule of Halloween night was simple. The little kids went first. The street was pulsing with activity. Big, gaudy skeletons, inflatable dragons, and giant spiders dotted every yard they passed. Abby's eyes glowed when she saw them. The bee and the sunflower fell right into the line of people heading east toward the town square, stopping at every house they passed to load up on candy. Soon, the little bee could barely hold her bag, and Beth had to carry it for her.
"It's too heavy," Abby said.
Beth winked. "Well, I'll help you out with that." They both dug in, and in a few moments, they had eaten a dozen pieces of candy between them.
"We should take it easy," Beth said, as she dug another piece out.
"Then again, it is the best night of the year." The sky was nearly dark now. The teenagers were starting to emerge. The princesses and knights replaced by zombies with spilled, dangling guts. Groups of girls shrieking and taking selfies in animal onesies. And grim reapers with blood-slicked machetes. Pumpkins glowed from every stoop. Some silly, but most with toothy mouths filled with jagged teeth.
"Mama,"
Abby said, leaning into Beth.
"It's okay. It's all for fun."
They gave up on getting more candy and walked to the middle of town, cutting across Orville Avenue and into the tangle of alleys that separated it from Main Street.
The alleys were a common shortcut for people walking to the square, but Abby never liked them. The brick buildings were so close that the sky always narrowed to a slit. It made her feel like she was walking into a dungeon. Abby huddled ever closer to Beth as they passed a couple of grown-ups who kissed and laughed and smelled like beer. The pair separated just long enough for Abby to see the woman's face, which was painted red.
"Happy Halloween, little bee!"
the devil woman growled as they walked past. Abby buried her head into her mother's waist and refused to look up until they were out of the alley.
"Hey, we're through. Check it out."
Abby looked up and saw Pearl Park, a wide span of lush grass and gigantic willow trees contained within the town square. The rectangle of grass was surrounded by a footpath and a quiet street lined with old-fashioned storefronts. Coffee shops, sandwich stores, and pizza joints threw open their doors and pulled tables out onto the sidewalk for Halloween. For one night only, everyone ate and drank outdoors. Dogs on and off leashes chased each other across grass, dressed up like devils and hot dogs. In the center of the park was the Fountain of Bacchus, a massive pool of dancing water with an enormous classical statue in the center. As she always did, Abby perked up when she saw it.
"Who's that?"
she asked, giggling at the almost naked statue.
"Bacchus. He's the Greek god of, well, partying."
The statue itself was 10 feet tall and perched on top of a pedestal that stood over 12 feet tall. The bronze had gone green over the years, but Bacchus's frivolous grin remained undimmed, and he tirelessly held his cup aloft as if raising a toast to the world.
"He's not wearing clothes," Abby said with another giggle.
"I know, baby."
They made a full circle around the park, just so the pair of them could see the decorations. The hanging willows were draped with purple lights, and ghosts hung and swayed in the breeze. Even with all the laughter and music, the scene was surreal and unsettling. And Abby realized she was quickly getting her fill of Halloween. They turned the corner at the far end of the park and headed back home, passing the cemetery. It was the only part of town that wasn't decorated, a detail that somehow made it more chilling. As they walked silently past it, the wind picked up, and Abby shivered.
"Mama? It's fine, baby, just a cemetery."
Just then, a couple walked under the streetlight a few feet in front of them. It was a cheerleader and what looked to Abby like a caveman.
"Beth, is that you? Oh my God, you are so cute!"
Abby had seen this scene unfold plenty of times. Her mother would catch up with her friends on, well, pretty much everything, and Abby knew she wasn't going anywhere soon. She began twirling around her mother's legs in little circles, humming to herself to pass the time. She kept her eyes on the cemetery, which was now half a block away. Far enough to be safe, but still too close to not keep an eye on. She made a circle around her mom's legs, once, twice, a third time. It was the fourth time that she stopped, when she saw a young girl standing in the shadows of the cemetery. She was dressed in a black sweatshirt, its hood pulled up over her short black hair. Her skin was as pale as milk, and her deep-set eyes looked almost purple in the reflection of the streetlight. It was impossible to tell her age. She could have been as young as 8 or as old as 17. For a moment, the dark-haired girl stretched and yawned as if she were awaking from a long nap. Then, she turned to Abby and smiled. Abby scrambled back behind her mother's legs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?